The story is wonderful, and in the best operatic tradition, maddeningly complex. But the plot is best understood against the background of the class system that prevailed at that time, the latter part of the 19th century, and in that place, Old Vienna. Great play is made of the idiosyncrasies of three social strata represented. The working class, upper and lower. The bourgeoisie, or middle class, similarly subdivided. And above them all, the aristocracy. Strauss and his gifted librettists have great fun with all these groups and with the absurd pretensions that separate them. So you will discover a lady's maid trying to pass as an actress, ordinary middle-class Viennese fellows struggling as French marquises, and a Hausfrau of the better sort playing a Hungarian countess. Marital infidelity is central to much comic opera, operetta, and it is omnipresent and multi-layered in Die Fledermaus. So not surprisingly, the first act opens with Rosalinda, our heroine, alone at home, being serenaded through her window by the tenor from the local opera house, Alfredo, who has a real passion for her. This character allows the Viennese to make gentle fun of their neighbours, the Italians, of tenors, and above all, of Italian tenors. It is also a professional in-joke, as operetta singers get a chance to mock their more serious-minded colleagues up the road at the Staatsoper. Ideally, as here, the range of the aria should subtly exceed that of the singer. Here's Alfredo's offstage serenade. Immediately, we encounter Adela, Rosalinda's maid, and a girl with musical-stroke-theatrical ambitions. She introduces herself with some particularly piercing coloratura. She has a friend called Ida, who has an invitation for the two girls to attend a grand ball that evening at the palace of Prince Orlovsky, a rich and clearly androgynous Russian prince. In a short scene, Adela asks her mistress, Rosalinda, for the evening off to visit a sick or dying relation, and Rosalinda refuses, because we learn her husband, Gabriel von Eisenstein, and the nearest thing this operetta has to a hero, is in court and threatened with jail for rowdy behaviour. Gabriel bursts onto the stage, accompanied by his half-witted lawyer, Dr. Blint, and tells how his sentence has been increased to 8 days through the incompetence of his lawyer. Rosalinda's sympathy for her abused husband gives rise to another lovely melody, oddly touching for such a farcical situation. But that is another demonstration of the curious sophistication of this piece. When Dr. Blint attempts to self-exculpate, he does so in an irritating but very funny repetition of legal terms, which only succeeds in further annoying client and wife. And all three join in a denunciation along the lines of never, ever go to law, because you'll only end up the worse off. Recurrir, appellir, reclamir, revenir, recipir, submetir, devolir, involvir, protestir, liquidir, exercir, exequir, arbitrir,
One more unfortunate, weary of breath, rashly importunate, gone to her death. Take her up tenderly, lift her with care, fashioned so slenderly, young and so fair. Look at her garments clinging like cerements, whilst the wave constantly drips from her clothing. Take her up instantly, loving, not loathing. Touch her not scornfully, think of her mournfully, gently and humanly, not of the stains of her. All that remains of her now is pure womanly. Make no deep scrutiny into her mutiny, rash and undutiful, past all dishonor. Death has left on her only the beautiful. Still, for all slips of hers, one of Eve's family, wipe those poor lips of hers, oozing so clammily. Loop up her tresses, escaped from the comb, her fair auburn tresses, whilst wonderment guesses, where was her home? Who was her father? Who was her mother? Had she a sister? Had she a brother? Or was there a dearer one still, and a nearer one yet than all other? Alas for the rarity of Christian charity under the sun. Oh, it was pitiful. Near a whole cityful, home she had none. Sisterly, brotherly, fatherly, motherly, feelings had changed. Love, by harsh evidence, thrown from its eminence, even God's providence seeming estranged. Where the lamps quiver so far in the river, with many a light, from window and casement, from garret to basement, she stood with amazement, houseless by night. The bleak wind of March made her tremble and shiver, but not the dark arch or the black flowing river. Mad from life's history, glad to death's mystery, swift to be hurled anywhere, anywhere out of the world. In she plunged boldly, no matter how coldly. The rough river ran over the brink of it. Picture it, think of it, dissolute man. Lave in it, drink of it, then, if you can. Take her up tenderly, lift her with care. Fashioned so slenderly, young and so fair, ere her limbs frigidly stiffen too rigidly, decently, kindly, smooth and compose them, and her eyes close them, staring so blindly. Dreadfully staring through muddy impurity, as when with the daring last look of despairing, fixed on futurity. perishing gloomily, spurred by contumely, cold inhumanity, burning insanity into her rest. Cross her hands humbly, as if praying dumbly, over her breast. Owning her weakness, her evil behavior, and leaving with meekness her sins to her Savior.
Once upon a time in the land of Hushabai, around about the wondrous days of yore, I came across a sort of box bound up with chains and locked with locks and labeled, "Kindly do not touch, it's war." A decree was issued round about, all with a flourish and a shout and a gaily colored mascot tripping lightly on before. "Don't fiddle with this deadly box or break the chains or pick the locks, and please, don't ever play about with war." Well, the children understood. Children happened to be good, and they were just as good around the time of yore. They didn't try to pick the locks or break into that deadly box. They never tried to play about with war. Mommies didn't either. Sisters, aunts, grannies neither, because they were quiet and sweet and pretty in those wondrous days of yore. Well, very much the same as now, not the ones to blame somehow for opening up that deadly box of war. But someone did. Someone battered in the lid and spilled the insides out across the floor. A sort of bouncy, bumpy ball made up of guns and flags and all the tears and horror and the death that goes with war. It bounced right out and went bashing all about and bumping into everything in store. And what was sad and most unfair is that it didn't really seem to care much who it bumped, or why, or what, or for. It bumped the children mainly. And I'll tell you this quite plainly. It bumps them every day and more, and leaves them dead and burned and dying, thousands of them sick and crying. Because when it bumps, it's really very sore. Now, there's a way to stop the ball. It isn't difficult at all. All it takes is wisdom. I'm absolutely sure that we could get it back into the box and bind the chains and lock the locks. No one seems to want to save the children anymore. Well, that's the way it all appears, because it's been bouncing round for years and years, in spite of all the wisdom whiz since those wondrous days of yore. And the time they came across the box, bound up with chains and locked with locks, and labeled, "Kindly do not touch, it's war."
One fine day as I was walking down the street, spied a beggar man with rags upon his feet. Took a penny from my pocket, in his tin cup I did drop it, and I heard him say as I made my retreat, "May the bird of paradise fly up your nose, may an elephant caress you with his toes, may your wife be black with runners in her hose, may the bird of paradise fly up your nose." My laundry man is really on his toes. Found a $100 bill among my clothes. When he called me, I came running, gave him back his dime for phoning, and I heard him saying as I turned to go, "May the bird of paradise fly up your nose, may an elephant caress you with his toes, may you wipe the flag with runners in her hose, may the bird of paradise fly up your nose." I was way behind one day to catch a train. The taxi driver said, "We'll make it just the same. I speak up, made it with us. And as he wrote out the ticket, I stood by politely waiting for my change. Man, a bird of paradise, fly up your nose.
Thank you. sing outside. Little spaces turn
I've been looking all over for you.
Oh, yeah? What have you been looking for me for, hon?
You belong to the devil. Satan's wife. You cast spells over men with your evil eye.
You really are off your rocker.
Go count your pruning straws, you witch. I'll turn yourself back into a cat. I like you better as a cat.
Leaving Goonstown. Good night.